All right, back on the Young Turks, Jake Huger, the professor. We're both here. Check out a post game to understand that a little bit better. TORTnetwork.com/join, become a member. Trikian, boy, is that a terrible pronunciation of your name? Participated in YouTube Super Chat so I could butcher his name. Mm-hmm. Says, I watch TYT because Cenk is like a Turkish version of my dad. Also, can you do more Canadian stories? I like Prime Minister Trudeau, but I find his government's acceptance of pipelines troubling. You might actually be happy about a pipeline story we're doing later in this hour. Mm-hmm. So, but now I'm a dad, Anna. That's what it is. Yeah, I remind people of their dad.
How does that feel?
It feels like reality.
Yeah.
That's what I get for doing this Maoist insurgency model. Anyway.
What?
It's some insane conspiracy theory. All right. Jin Ho Choi writes, Kamala Harris is a Hillary clone. Kamala will lose to Mike Pence in 2020. Again, I don't yet have a strong opinion on Kamala Harris, but ain't nobody losing to Mike Pence in 2020. Okay, but if you do run a real establishment person, that's your only chance of losing to Republicans. Okay, Ashley B says the Democrats' real new slogan is anyone but Bernie. Mm. That unfortunately is fairly true. Okay. All right, good enough for now. I will have the members of the day a little bit later for you guys. Casper, go!
All right. You have like enough energy to make up for my lack of energy today.
You know what the thing is? I hear that Trump is low energy. That's why he needs to take a 3-week vacation, right? He doesn't have stamina. He doesn't have stamina. Me, I have stamina.
Okay, all right, okay. All right.
Nobody's kicking me out the door.
All right, I'm going to get started with something a little different from what we usually do. Yes, there's a lot of political news. Yes, we will get to that later in the hour. But I want to start off with something completely different. All right. Sophie Turner is one of the actresses on HBO's Game of Thrones. She is Sansa Stark, and she had some interesting things to say about her success and her career recently during an interview with Porter Magazine. Now, she built a pretty big social media following, and she says that because of that social media following, she has gotten roles over other actresses who are actually more talented than she is. So here are her quotes. She says, a lot of what I have achieved is about timing and luck, but it is also, and I hate to say it, about a big social media following. She says, I auditioned for a project and it was between me and another girl who is a far better actress than I am, far better, but I had the followers, so I got the job. It's not right, but it is part of the movie industry now. So because of Game of Thrones, she swiftly built a social media following. Just to give you some numbers, with Twitter, it's 1.34 million followers, Instagram, 5.4 million, and with Facebook, it's 2 million. So I think that's a really interesting admission from her, because, you know, I think that most of us know that, but people don't admit it.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things here that are important societal trends. So, first off, let's just be clear that I think she's also being humble, because we have no idea who's the better actress, right? Mm-hmm. Her or the other person who auditioned. She doesn't know. I think she's being nice by saying that.
This is a nice, change from what we're hearing from some of our leaders in the U.S.
Now it feels shocking when someone's humble.
Yeah.
But yeah. But let's take for granted that what she's saying is actually true, that the other person was better. I'm not overly surprised by that, but think about it. They're in media. What do you want? You want more people to watch you, whether it's a movie, it's a TV show, etc. So if people are already more popular, they might get more people to watch them. And why do the celebrities get so much money in the first place? Because they have more fans.
Right.
So it's not that outrageous, but and by the way, her Twitter followers and all that stuff now is gigantic, but it was already pretty large. That's why she got the job.
Right.
And after she got the job, they took off like a rocket. Mm-hmm. But she already had a good presence. That's what she's talking about on these social media platforms. Mm-hmm. Now the problem is, especially if you want to get big on it, if you want to get big on it, Twitter, say controversial things. Mm-hmm. You want to get big on Instagram, show your body. I'm just keeping it real, mm-hmm. okay? Especially me, they love my body. If you want to get big on Facebook, do viral hits. And of course, being a celebrity helps on all these counts. Being attractive helps on all these counts, but it does create some wrong incentives.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, if you're making good points on social media, I think it's far less likely that it will go viral. And you're absolutely right about Instagram, which, you know, it is what it is. There is a market out there for racy photos, right? If you're a woman specifically, and that will build a following a lot quicker. But it just kind of sucks. Look, this isn't something new. As you mentioned, we've always had an issue where name recognition outweighs the importance of talent. And in this case, name recognition is kind of solidified based on how many followers you have on social media. It does create bad incentives. And you know, interestingly enough, she admits that as well. So she talked about how she used to post political things on social media, and then she realized, oh wait, there are people paying attention to what I'm doing, and some people are actually getting offended by some of the things I'm posting. Let me give you her exact statement. She said, I was a 15-year-old girl writing rash political stuff that would get a negative reaction, and my team would tell me to take it down. Now I am learning to keep my mouth shut. I mean,
so that's kind of annoying too, actually. Yeah. So now that's the other side of it. Like, if you want to get big on social media, say crazy things. Yeah. If you're already big, oh my God, don't give me your real opinion because that might offend somebody. So I think there needs to be a better balancing act. But this isn't just about actors. I have a friend who's got teenage daughters, and all of a sudden they're taking racy pictures. Why? Because it gets more thumbs up and likes and stuff on Instagram. So
yeah,
already at very young ages, look, if you want to brag about how many likes you got, right? Or how many hearts you got, and what's going to get you more hearts? If you have a racy picture.
You're such a dad.
I know, but it's true.
No, I like that you say how many hearts you get.
What is it? Don't you?
Yeah,
I know, but you press the heart.
It's just called likes. Okay.
Can you? Gee, I wonder if I'm big on Instagram. No, nobody's interested in seeing my hair. Nobody's hearting me there.
Oh, man.
Anyway, and look, in the political sphere, I mean, I just call it what it is, right? I mean, how did Tommy Lauren become something? She's like, she's an attractive person who says outrageous, hideous things. People love to hate her. People want heels, and she's a heel.
Yeah.
She doesn't have a lot of positive followers. She has a huge amount of people who can't stand her. But you know what it did? It worked. It worked. There's cameras following her everywhere. And now she's like a big name for what? She actually like was her show. Remember, she had a show on The Blaze. Was it popular? No one knows. No one has ever given numbers on it, right? Mm-hmm. So for all we know, no one watched her, right? Is there any evidence that she got ratings anywhere? None, right? Now she works for a Trump super PAC, right? What is that? She's just the literally paid propagandist. She has no actual credentials, but she says terrible things about black people, and everybody's like, Jesus, can you believe she said that? And next thing you know, she rises up, all the wrong incentives.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I would rather not get as much fame, I guess, and say things that I actually believe and things that I think are actually productive, as opposed to growing a following of people that despise me. That doesn't sound fun. I mean, yeah, you make money off of that, right?
They do. So whether it's an actress who has more social media followers getting a hugely important role, are you kidding me? Getting a role on Game of Thrones, that's life-changing.
Right.
Right? Or political pundits who, by the way, will get paid either by the PACs or for the speeches that they do. Mm-hmm. And they could command a higher speech rate, not if based on their intelligence or even their popularity, but based on how well they're known. And if you say terrible things, you'll be better known.
Exactly.
So the market rewards things that it probably should not reward. And that's the situation we're in. Look, I appreciate Sansa Stark bringing up this conversation, and she's not the bad guy here at all. Mm-hmm. And she was wonderfully honest about it. And it is a real phenomenon in the whole country, not just for stars.
Right. All right, let's move on to an awesome scientific breakthrough that some people are not finding so awesome. A team of scientists from the United States, China, and also South Korea have found a way to precisely edit DNA in human embryos in order to fight disease was referred to as a disease gene. So super fascinating. This is something that other scientists are really, really worried about because they think it'll lead to the emergence of so-called designer babies. However, the scientists working on this experiment are specifically looking for ways to do away with genes that lead to serious life-threatening diseases later on in your life. So this international team of scientists reports that they have, for the first time, figured out a way to successfully edit the DNA in human embryos without introducing the harmful mutations that were a problem in previous attempts elsewhere. Now, those previous attempts elsewhere were actually in China, where they attempted to do the same thing, but it led to other mutations that could have led to other diseases for humans in the future. Now, the new experiment used a powerful new gene editing technique to correct a genetic defect behind a heart disorder that can cause seemingly healthy young people to suddenly die from heart failure. So other potential uses, if they fine tune this, keep studying it and find that it will be effective, it could help cure people or prevent, I should say, it's a better word, prevent Huntington's disease, cystic fibrosis, Alzheimer's disease, breast and ovarian cancer. But I want to be absolutely clear, this is not, you know, something that will now be implemented. Again, they want to do more studies, and they also have some ethical concerns to address as well.
Okay, it's over. We're going to evolve ourselves out of existence. We're going to banana ourselves. we evolved a banana.
Yeah.
And there will be superhumans. It's already over. It's just a matter of time. So yeah. It was nice knowing us, Homo sapiens. You had a good run. So let me explain. First of all, I did an interview with some doctors that's up on TYT interviews about similar procedures. Mm-hmm. And the reason why they're definitely going to do this is twofold. One, technology keeps improving, so they will get better and better. And be, like Anna said, we used to do this and it didn't work, now it does. Mm-hmm. Two, people really need it. And so those diseases are incredibly important. Breast cancer kills so many people in the country, mm-hmm. let alone Alzheimer's. If you could just knock that out at the gene level, that would be amazing. And those are just four examples, but this is just the tip of the iceberg. Then once you get into the genes, why not fix other things? And in fact, look, the doctors I was talking to it was about a very rare condition where your heart stops all of a sudden. It's very similar to this story, mm-hmm. okay? And so if it's genetic and you think your kids have it and they could die at any moment without warning, what would you do to fix that? Anything, mm-hmm. right? So people are gonna investigate this. We're already very close to solving it, and then they're gonna do it, right? And rightfully so, I would do it. So yeah. Now, once you start doing it, there's no end to it. So the minute you can cure cystic fibrosis, somebody's gonna say, I want a kid who's a little taller. Can you do that? Technically, not yet. Is it theoretically possible? Enormously possible, / almost easy. Now, I'm not a scientist, and scientists go ahead on the comment section, and I don't wanna oversimplify it. But it's not drastically different than this procedure. And so you can have, and they explain in the New York Times and NPR and all the other people who covered it, yes, it is possible, taller, stronger.
The super babies.
The super babies.
Right.
Which then, we call them super babies, but they really are superhumans. And it is almost a different species because it's no longer genetically us. Mm-hmm. And once you
it's genetically modified humans, right? And look, I want to be clear. The intention of these scientists has nothing to do with creating superior humans.
Of course,
they
not.
Genuinely yeah. want to alter, an embryo's genetic makeup to prevent very serious illnesses and diseases in the future. So, for instance, just to give you a specific example, there's the BRCA gene, and that's the gene that could lead to breast cancer or prostate cancer if it's something that's hereditary. So if you have a family member who had that type of cancer and you have that specific gene, you are likely, or you have a higher likelihood to also get cancer later in your life. And so through this research, they're hoping that they can alter that gene in an embryo in order to prevent that individual from having that type of cancer later on in his or her life. So I think that their intentions are pure, and I think their intentions are great, but is there the potential of a scientific breakthrough being abused in the future? Of course, just like technological advancements.
So I did, first of all, let me just, I want to be super clear. I love these scientists. As an atheist, let me just say, they're doing God's work. Okay, so this is amazing stuff, and thank God for them. And then let me give you a note of caution. Graphic 12, Marcy Darnowski, she's at the Center for Genetics and Society. She's their director at Berkeley. She says, I think it's extraordinarily disturbing. It's a flagrant disregard of calls for a broad societal consensus and decisions about a really momentous technology that could be used good, but in this case is being used in preparation for an extraordinarily risky application. Now, we can disagree about how risky it is, and obviously eventually the Food and Drug Administration will be part of the process of approving it, and boy, it'll have to go through a very significant process. But it doesn't matter if our FDA has certain rules. Anna Redditude, there's Chinese, South Korean, other researchers working on this. China's gonna have different rules. They're already trying it.
They are already trying it. Also, keep in mind that here in the United States, there are certain laws or organizations working to prevent experiments into this. So there's the National Institutes of Health, and then there is also the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, and they've banned experiments with embryos like this. But
good luck.
But in the UK, researchers have been given the green light, and they are able to explore and experiment and try to figure out whether or not this could be a potential benefit for the human race in the future.
Yeah, and so by the way, she says it could have disastrous consequences. That's true, but we're making a value judgment. So is it disastrous if there are a bunch of humans out there that are stronger and faster and smarter? Maybe not disastrous. Yeah. But if we have two different kinds of humans out there, and I know I'm way oversimplifying, because you don't get into whether it's the same species or not, that's not important, right? Mm-hmm. What's important is they're genetically modified, right? And by the way, the minute you modify their genes to get rid of cystic fibrosis, it doesn't matter you did it for a good reason. That is a genetically modified person. Mm-hmm. And genetically modified doesn't necessarily mean bad. So, we're putting value judgments on it, but we don't know. And of course, there's also the chance that once you start playing around with the genes, you might accidentally trigger something you didn't realize you triggered.
Right. I think that's one of the fears. And also, looking way forward in the future, let's say that this type of medical advancement has been tested, it's been proven, it's safe, and people have the option of using it. What about the disadvantaged? Are they going to have access to this? And so, who's going to take advantage of super babies?
That's
it's
exactly
be the wealthy,
right.
So
no, there's, look, when you think about the implications, and I know it's a little bit further down the road, but it's not that far down the road. Because technology is moving at 100 miles an hour, and we can already do it inside the embryos.
Right.
This is now getting closer and closer to reality. This is going to happen in our lifetimes. So, if it turns out only the rich can afford it, then the rich have the superhumans, and the middle class and the poor don't. I'm not kidding, right? And so then what happens if the superhumans are really superhuman? Forget that, who cares how fast and strong they are? Okay, they have more NBA players, who cares, right? What if they're really smart? Okay, I know, way oversimplifying for the 18th time, but you know how we view ants, who cares? Pa-ting, pa-ting, right? Don't do that, by the way, animals are innocent. But what if they view us like cows? Whatever, man, it's expendable,
yeah,
right? And if it is a real jump, right, an exponential increase in intelligence, or something else that's an exponential increase, oh boy, that's gonna get super interesting.
Right.
And it might be some good in there, it could be some bad, but if you didn't like genetically modified organisms, wait till you get a load of genetically modified humans.
All right, you know what? Let's take a break.
Let's take a quick break, guys.
And when we come back, some good news in regard to the Keystone XL pipeline.
Good news. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Member shout outs are Kevin Rankin and Carlos Murphy. Tonight or today on the post game, I will talk about how hashtag Project Ripped has begun.
Oh my God. I gotta get on that. Not like, I'm fine.
That just sounded funny. Anyway, I will tell you how I'm getting ripped. TYTnetwork.com/join. So, and if we didn't get to some of the stories, I might touch on those too. I like throwing in stories in the post game now. Okay. Christopher Sotelo writes in on hashtag TYT Live, the professor's in the building. And he capitalized all of it. That's why I screamed it. By the way, let us note for the record that you have a very fun dress on.
Yeah, it's actually a romper.
Oh, okay, sure.
There's a difference, but so thank you.
That's the thing with the shorts.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, got you. Super fun, though.
Thank you.
Okay, all right, we're moving forward. I Am Sock says, oh boy, so many children are going to have complexes over social media numbers in the near future. Not in the near future, right now, it's already happening. I know people who are in the middle of it.
Are you concerned about your own kids?
Eventually, yes.
Are you
definitely?
Are you going to be the cop that stops it?
I'm coming to their house. I got news for my kids. I'm already in their house.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm definitely not talking big because that put me in trouble.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Woke Poppy says Cenk is a woke dad. So if Haas is woke bae, am I woke Baba?
Probably, yeah. But at least you're actually a Baba. Whereas sometimes people will call me a MILF, and I'm like, can you just wait until I have a kid first and then go ahead and call me a MILF?
Oh, that's so funny. Does that make me a DILF?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that question can go in a couple of different ways. Anyway, last one. Angel's Advocate says, you think racism is bad now? Wait till rich folks start correcting other traits. Okay, so hold for that. Okay, let's go forward.
All right. The Keystone XL pipeline has dealt with a number of obstacles, protesters, regulations, people who don't want the construction of the pipeline to continue. As you can remember, toward the end of the Obama administration, the TransCanada, which is the company, the corporation behind Keystone XL pipeline, did everything it could to get Obama to approve the permits for further construction. Obama said no. Trump comes in, he says yes, you can continue with construction. And now it turns out, due to simple economics, it might not even happen. Yeah, they might not even build the rest of the pipeline. Let me give you the details on this. Now, the executive vice president for TransCanada had a call with investors and he's like, yo, dogs, like I don't know what to do. Like, it turns out that the price of oil is pretty low, producing the oil is pretty high. Maybe it doesn't make sense to go through with this project after all. So low oil prices and the high cost of extracting Canadian crude from oil sands are casting new doubts on Keystone XL as executives with the Canadian company that wants to build it face the final regulatory hurdle next week in Nebraska. So keep in mind that Nebraska is the only state that hasn't approved it just yet, and that's because there are farmers in the state that are concerned about their crops. The pipeline would essentially go through their property and it could be damaging, you know, for their business, for their agriculture. And so TransCanada executive raised eyebrows in the energy industry last week when he suggested the pipeline developer doesn't know whether it will move forward with the project. So Paul Miller, an executive vice president who is overseeing the project, told an investor call that company officials won't decide until late November or early December whether to start construction. So just to give you an idea of how much things have changed since they began construction, crude oil was trading at around $49.50 a barrel of Wednesday this week, and that's down from the highs of more than $100 in 2014. So again, oil prices have dipped considerably and they're like, eh, we don't know about this anymore.
You like free markets? How do you like them free markets? Mm. So this is very important for a number of reasons. First, on this immediate issue. So the crude oil that comes from Canada is the most expensive kind of oil to extract. So they began these projects when oil prices were really high. And when oil prices are really high, then it's worth going through that expense to extract it. Now, it's also some of the dirtiest fossil fuel there is on the planet. And there's more carbon that goes in the air because of this this type of oil that's in Canada. It's not the only place that it's in, but Canada has a huge reservoir of it. And so if oil prices are high, then you're going to have a huge economic incentive to. I mean, let's just make up numbers here just to keep it simple. So if it costs you $50 to get the oil out of the ground, but the oil is trading at $100, well, even with the transportation and distribution and all that stuff, you're still going to have a healthy profit margin. But if now all of a sudden the prices are $50, well, that's the price to extract it. It doesn't make sense to make it anymore to go forward with the project. Now, one of the reasons oil prices are going down is because there's lots of other sources of energy now, which didn't exist when we had incredibly high oil prices earlier on. So some of which existed, but were at a much lower level. Some are growing exponentially now. Keeping it real, it's not just renewable energy. Fracking is killing oil. And and so fracking is a really interesting topic, and it's got big upsides and but potentially much bigger downsides. Okay, but one of the upsides is that at least it's not it brings down the price because there's more supply. So for real economists, you understand what supply and demand is. Unlike Rick Perry, who's like supply and demand. That's you see the way that it works is that if you have more supply, you'll have more demand. No, that's not how it works at all. Okay. So anyway, now this is also great news for the future on a bigger scale, because fracking has a lot of downsides, but renewable energy does not have very many downsides, and it is also growing exponentially. And when it does, it becomes cheaper to make because you have advantages in technology that you. That you can take advantage of. You have economies of scale that you can take advantage of. And so the bigger renewable energy gets, the lower its cost is. And then it competes with oil. And there is a certain point at which extracting crude oil no longer makes any economic sense. And
Look, this is how a free market is supposed to work, right? Where you have competition from competing industries, you know, a competing source of energy, and you don't have the oil industry or the coal industry or anything, any industry, having a monopoly on the way energy is produced in the United States. Because that's what essentially has been happening for a very long period of time. You have lobbyists working for big oil, working with politicians, funding politicians in order to prevent any type of investment or funding toward renewable energies or other forms of energy. And so we've had crony capitalism in this regard for a very long time. And it's nice to see that even though we still have crony capitalism, you know, there are forces that are fighting against it. And hopefully we can, you know, defeat some of the dirtier forms of energy that we're producing.
And if you guys then say, well, okay, look then guys, why don't you just let the free market decide, do the coal, do all this stuff, and then maybe your renewable energy will win out in the end. Well, it is winning out right now, but there are also costs you're not taking into account. So when they take the fossil fuels out of the ground and then they don't pay the cost of the carbon that goes into the sky. And the carbon in the air is a cost that's borne by all of us. And so why do you get to privatize the gains and socialize the losses? So that's not free market either. So it's perfectly rational to say this, in terms of the carbon cost of this crude oil, is not worth it to Canada, the citizens of Canada, or America, or the world, and we're not gonna do that. And then we would have said it's okay because renewable energy is gonna come up anyway. And when it turns out, we were right. You didn't have to do this kind of fossil fuel, and all it did was hurt the planet, and they never properly paid for its cost.
Exactly. Yeah, so this is a little bit of good news. We'll see how the story develops because you know, TransCanada will make a decision in regard to the Keystone XL pipeline in November, but it's not looking so good. As long as oil prices remain low, it seems like they're unlikely to continue with the project.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to other news. The city of Baltimore has dropped dozens of drug-related cases after it was revealed that one cop was caught through his body cam footage planting drugs as evidence with one defendant. Now, it turns out that there is another video showing different cops in what appears to be a case where they are again planting drugs. Now, in this case, it has to do with a vehicle that was stopped. After cops pulled this individual over, they searched the car and they didn't find any drugs. Then they turned off their body cam, turned it back on, searched in the exact same area of the car, and then miraculously found drugs. As a result, the case against that defendant has been dropped. Her name is Shamir Collins. But I do want to show you guys the video so you can kind of judge for yourselves. And then I'll tell you how the police commissioner is sticking up for these cops, which is unbelievable. So let's look at the first video. This is where they're searching the car, and it seems like they're having a hard time finding anything.
Okay, we got nothing so far.
Okay. So at that point, they turn off the body cam, and then here is the second video.
No. Did anybody check this compartment?
I knew it. That's why they were freaking out.
That's the weed smell right there.
That's why they were freaking out.
Oh, these are like little fives.
Okay, so here's my favorite parts of that. And it's a terrible story, but the way they did it was almost amusing. They're like, oh, we couldn't find anything. Turn off the body cam. So they turn off the body camera, and then they plant it. And then I like how they're like, just standing around and goes, oh, did anybody check this part?
And he finds it immediately.
And he's like, oh, there it is. No, we were right all along.
Come on, man. What, you guys are wearing body cams. But here's the thing. I think some cops, not all, some cops are emboldened by the fact that a lot of police officers get away with a lot of really bad things.
Of course.
So like, I'm wearing a body cam. Who cares if I'm wearing a body cam? It's not like I'm gonna face any consequences if I get caught or if anyone suspects that I'm planting this evidence. So look, here's the thing. Because of, you know, the two separate cases that we've told you about on this show, you know, these cops have been involved in a bunch of other cases, and any other case that they've been involved in has to be dropped because the credibility of these police officers is now up in the air. And just to give you a more broad perspective of what's going on in Baltimore, let's go to graphic 26A. Last summer, the US Department of Justice issued a scathing report in which investigators said the police department engaged in widespread discriminatory and unconstitutional policing practices, particularly in poor, predominantly black neighborhoods.
Really?
The city and the Justice Department later entered into a consent decree that mandates reforms and is in its early stages. Now, look, the planting of drugs is horrible, but to make matters worse, the police commissioner is completely defending these actions, which is frustrating to say the least. He had a press conference just yesterday where he addressed these videos, and here's what he had to say. His name is Kevin Davis. In both of these cases, it's no doubt that drugs were discovered and the recovery of those drugs were captured on body-worn cameras. There's no doubt that that took place in either case. There's no doubt that probable cause existed for arrest. He's claiming that they need to do an investigation to figure out whether or not the cops were just simply reenacting them finding the drug.
So, yeah, sure, that's what was happening.
So yes. He's making an argument that maybe they forgot to turn on their body cameras and then they discovered the drugs with the cameras off, and then they're like, oh wait, we wanna make sure we catch this on camera, so let's reenact it.
Except we have video of them before they found any drugs with the body cameras on, so they had to actively turn it off. Okay, these are the most nonsense excuses you'll ever hear. So look, let me give you a perspective you might not, if you're a progressive, you might not know this perspective. And if you're a conservative, I hear you, I was you, okay? So let me just explain for folks. I grew up in a nice suburb, I was super lucky. And we generally didn't have problems with the cops, and then we thought the cops were there to protect us. So I grew up thinking that cops don't lie. And there's a huge, and if you're progressive and you're black or you're poor, you might find that laughable, right? But there's a huge chunk of the country who thinks and was raised to believe cops don't lie and cops don't make up stuff. And why would a cop plant drugs? I remember having an argument with Steve-O now like 30 years ago, and I would, and he told a story about his friends had drugs planted on. I'm like, why would the cops do that? That doesn't make any sense. Why would they want to get into trouble? And yeah, no, you got to trust the cops until you find out the evidence. Now, it's not to say that all cops are bad. They're all planting drugs. Of course not. But by the way, if you have cops who are doing this, you should weed them out. Sorry for the pun. Okay, and get them off the force. Otherwise, you all lose credibility. And yes, if you've been taught to believe that cops never lie, wakey wakey.
Right.
Of course they lie sometimes. Some of the cops do lie some of the times. That's why we have a justice system, and we don't just trust them.
Exactly. And you know, just to again make a broader point about what's going on in Baltimore, police have sustained 14 administrative misconduct cases against officers based on body cam footage. And that's according to Davis, the guy who wants to protect these cops. One officer was indicted on criminal assault charges based on body camera footage. So look, body cams are working to some extent, and I guess that's a good thing, finally. You know, there have been some consequences for cops who are behaving poorly and not doing their jobs in a responsible way. But just to go back to your point about how some cops do lie, a story that you know, we didn't get to today was about a San Diego police officer who gave a citation to a man that he was accusing of sleeping in the bed of his truck, which is illegal, right? His body cam footage showed that he actually just came up to the guy as he was walking out of a public restroom.
He was just completely lying about it. And so if you're wondering why, generally laziness. And some places have quotas and you gotta make a number of arrests. And so like, well, if I don't have something you're guilty of, I gotta make sure that I don't get in trouble down at headquarters, so I'm gonna arrest some people anyway. And who am I gonna arrest? The powerless, so they don't mess with me. If I arrest the powerful, then I'm gonna have consequences, especially if I'm lying or planting drugs on them. And a lot of the powerless, whether they're poor, African American, even middle class now, a lot of folks can't afford lawyers, can't afford to fight back. Mm-hmm. Those are the guys you pick on, right? And that's how it happens. All right, I love the body cameras. I'm so glad they're there, because they do every once in a while catch the bad guys doing the wrong things. Okay, so let's go to the next story. I got the next one. Okay, so there's a story out about a cop in Louisiana who posted something horrific that I'm going to show you in a second. It is really kind of stomach churning. It's a cartoon, but it's not for kids. He is actually an assistant chief at Esther Wood Police Department. He did wind up resigning on Tuesday. His name is Wayne Welsh. And on social media, he put out this cartoon. So it says, it's got a white mom putting her daughter's head into the bathtub, almost like drowning her. And it says, when your daughter's first crush is a little Negro boy. In other words, you kill your daughter if they like black kids, okay? So look, we've seen a lot of violence in these clips and in different things, whether it's the police or others. But that, for whatever reason, like shook me more than anything else. And obviously, it's deeply problematic if the cop thinks this is their opinion of black people. Mm-hmm. They hate them so much they'd kill their own kids if they thought they were gonna date someone like a black person, okay? Now, he's gonna say, of course, oh, I was joking. That's a good joke. Mm-hmm. I mean, he goes, if you're not in that mind frame, would you ever send a cartoon like that? Oh my God, I'd be horrified. All right, anyway, so good point here by a Twitter follower. They say, cops, you shouldn't fear if you haven't done anything wrong. And he says, this was done by a cop, right? And it's Black Aziz Ansari on Twitter. And his point being, no, sometimes they just don't like us. They have a vitriolic hatred of us, whether we did something wrong or we didn't do something wrong. So, and this is a good example. Now, how does Wayne Welsh justify it? He says, it's not against the law. What is this grammar, by the Jesus Christ, this guy is so stupid. Anyway, it's not against the law if you share stuff on Facebook. It's social media, internet. No, you're missing it, man. It's not that you've got your First Amendment right to hate black people. You're a cop and you're supposed to be protecting the community. And in that community are white people and black people. If you view them as the enemy, Well, I can't give you a gun and a badge and think that you're going to treat them equally because you're obviously not going to. And he's like, well, I can. Look, not as a cop.
Look, so, if anyone wants to defend that and say that it's just a joke, it's not a big deal, you know, have a little sense of humor. You have to at least admit that you have to be particularly dim to post something like that on a public forum, especially considering the atmosphere that we're dealing with right now, right? If you are a cop, it's pretty dumb to post something like that. And I don't think he's joking. Yeah, I don't think it's cute.
He's definitely not joking. Listen
to
what he just said next. Welsh's Facebook post also reportedly complained that critics were playing the quote race card and that people were out to depict him as a bad guy. What the? We didn't bring up race. You brought up race saying you would drown your daughter. Ha ha, I would drown my daughter if they were dating a black guy. Look, guys, you gotta step in their shoes for 1 second and think, my God, if someone hated you like that and they had a gun and a badge, wouldn't you be a little afraid of them too? This is a terrible attitude. Thank God he was fired or had to resign and he's not on the force anymore. But this is atrocious and unfortunately happens far too often. All right, guys, we love you. We got a great post game coming up for you guys. Bye bye.